Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So they massacred the Orioles as well they should have. 26 runs in three games played. There was a combined shutout Saturday. Why are we not playing Pitbull and dancing in the streets? Well, one, because Pitbull sucks. Two, because the streets are clogged with other winning teams well ahead of Boston in this race to sneak in the playoffs from the wild card back door. Tampa Bay, Oakland, Cleveland, to paraphrase another entertainer of this generation, Mr. DJ Khaled, all they do is win. So, the Sox are crushing it and spinning their wheels. Oh, and Chris Sale might need elbow surgery. Must everything be so hard? That's what she said. This, Michael Scott, is Sox Daily.
It's your daily Sox podcast. It's your daily Sox podcast. It's where you're going to find out what the Sox are doing. It's your daily Sox podcast. It's your daily Sox podcast. Oh, it's your daily Sox podcast. And here's your host, Josh Lewis.
All right, let's pretend no one told you about Chris Sale and his barky elbow. Let's begin by enjoying the fact that Sox just kicked Baltimore square in the Nads for really the entire weekend. They won all three games. They outscored them 26-8. Josh Lewin with you. I was also with you back in April of 1996, if you were a Baltimore Orioles fan, when in a single game, they were outscored 26-7. I was doing the Will Fleming role, if you will, and even if you won't, for the Orioles back then. And the way we did it, when there was a star of the game to be had, and we interviewed somebody no matter what, whether it was an Orioles player or the opposition. This game was in Texas. It was in Arlington, Texas in April of 96. I'm just going to start this story, and nobody can stop me because it's a podcast. It can just go and go and go. But I would go down three outs before we figured the game was over. It was 10-7 at that point. Baltimore was losing, and it's like, all right, so I'll go find Juan Gonzalez or somebody to talk to with the Rangers. I stood in that tunnel for 58 minutes. It was an 8-hit, 8-walk, 16-run inning in the bottom of the eighth to extend it out to 26-7. That was worse. Manny Alexander walked three batters with the bases loaded. Remember him, the little middle infielder, and then he gave up a grand slam to Kevin Elster. So I have seen the Orioles lose worse than 26-8 over a weekend. I've seen them lose 26-7 in one night. Anyway, let's go back to what happened this weekend. Didn't mean to go off on a complete tangent there. There was good stuff. On Friday, Andrew Benintendi was the catalyst, a 9-1 win. He went 3-for-4, a couple of extra base hits, and that was three straight wins at that point for the Red Sox, and certainly continued a torrid stretch for Benny. .394 batting average, 19 extra base hits in 24 games at that point. Really nice U-turn of a season for Andrew. He's never lost confidence, and the results are starting to show up now. Mookie scored two more runs in that game, one of which was on his 21st home run of the season. He's on pace for 145 runs. That would make him one of two Red Sox ever to get to even 140. It would be Mookie and Ted Williams, which is a heck of a list. Rick Porcello was strong, and boy, they're going to need that down the stretch, especially if there's bad news on Sale. Porcello getting a milestone, getting to 2,000 career innings pitched. We've talked about that on the podcast, something he's very proud of. He's one of just 12 active pitchers to get to that. David Price, Justin Verlander, Max Scherzer, a bunch of guys like that. 17 wins in the last 18 for the Red Sox when they get a quality start. Turns out that's kind of important, right? Red Sox going to 34-11 overall this year when they get just six innings and three runs allowed. That's all it takes. After the game, Rick Porcello meeting with the media.
Yeah, it rolled out well. Vasquez called a great game. We're on the same page from the get-go, and fortunate enough to get some quick outs and get through the sixth, and our guys did a great job of swinging the bats and put up a bunch of runs and resulted in a good win for us.
Rick, how Rick, you got to 2,000 innings in your career. You know, obviously you're still in the context of a game and competing, but what does that mark mean to you?
Yeah, I'm definitely very proud of that. It's been a tough year, but this is kind of a night where I can look back and say I got 6,000 outs in the big leagues, and not many people that can say they did that. So I'm very proud of that, and a lot of people have helped me and supported me along the way to be able to get through it to 2,000 innings, and I'm just fortunate enough to be able to stay healthy and do it. So it's a nice night and a little a side note and personal accomplishment.
Last three.
Yeah, the line and the two out of the last three have been pretty good, but it's been four or five starts where I've felt like myself and felt pretty good throwing the ball. The results aren't always great, and that's the part that you need to have. But as far as what we've been working on and what I'm capable of doing, it's been coming around nicely, and it's unfortunate it's happened this late in the season, but I feel good, so we'll just keep moving forward.
Rick, you were able to keep the ball in the park tonight. What was the key to, maybe avoiding those one or two mistakes that kind of hurt you against the game?
Yeah, I think it was a combination of two things. One, we're mixing speeds and throwing a lot of off-speed pitches, which helped out the fastball. And two, staying out of the middle of the plate with everything. I think, the pitch that Mancini hit was down the middle, and maybe one or two others. Other than that, we were on the corners, and we're mixing speeds good. So.
It was win number 11 for Porcello in what's been a really tough season. 9-1 the final Friday. And then. Saturday was a 4-0 win. Great news regarding one left-hand starter. Some very troubling news regarding another. We'll get to good news Eddie Rodriguez in a bit. But first, the news about Sale. It is a swollen elbow. News delivered at a hastily arranged press conference by Dave Dombrowski. 4 years almost to the day after his own press conference that had been arranged to introduce him as the team's new GM, replacing Ben Cherington. Both press conferences, very strangely, in the immediate aftermaths of 9-1 wins at home. Back in 2015, it had been against Cleveland, this time against Baltimore. Anyway, you might know Sale signed the 5-year, $145 million contract extension back in March. Not a lot of bang for that buck yet. 6-11 record this year, 4.4 ERA. Even though he's got a major league best 13.3 strikeouts per nine innings. But now the elbow concern. And short term, with three scheduled off days this month still to come, and Nate Eovaldi back into the rotation, the Sox can work around Sale's absence for a bit. But anytime you hear the words, he's going to see Dr. James Andrews, that should make you throw up in your mouth a little, because no one just goes to see James Andrews because he's a nice guy or they want to sell him their boat. You go to see James Andrews because somebody has said you might need Tommy John surgery. Now, the good doctor isn't always the grim reaper. Braves third baseman Austin Riley just paid the old doctor a visit for a knee injury. Andrews gave him good news. No surgery needed. He'll play again this year. But here's what Dave Dombrowski had to say. Here's what he knew, anyway, on Saturday.
I can relay it because Chris, I think, needs a couple days to himself at this point, so I don't think he's going to be available today. So I can tell you how it comes from his perspective and then where I become involved. So Chris said he didn't feel anything Tuesday when he pitched. Wednesday, he felt some stiffness, a little more than normal. Didn't say anything to anyone. Thursday, the same thing. Felt a little more stiffness. Didn't go away by Friday. So he came in and told the training staff yesterday. I don't know the exact time he told them, but I didn't find out till after the game. So they told me after the game last night that he had some stiffness. And at that point, we said, okay, well, let's make sure we get this checked out. So he had an MRI performed today. And when he had the MRI performed today, they showed that there was inflammation in the left elbow. So he didn't say anything to anybody, at least with our club, until yesterday. Because he didn't think much of it at the point. But there's definitely inflammation in there. The MRI showed that. And so we're, of course, not taking any chances and putting him on the injured list.
You said Chris needs a couple of days to himself.
Well, I think for him, he just felt that he's with his elbow. He was hopefully he was going to pitch. And we told him he's going to put him on the injured list. I think he's like, okay, I just need to gather myself a little bit.
Well, obviously, cross your fingers hard for Chris Sale. If you have some rosary beads, if you have a lucky dream catcher, whatever you got, use it, because the last thing you need right now is dire news about Chris Sale. As for the game Saturday itself, it was about Eduardo Rodriguez, really. 7 1/3 innings, 4 hits against his former team. His career-high 14th win. The Sox are 18-5 in his last 24 starts with a TBA, because he had the start in the suspended game against Kansas City. Season high, 7 1/3 innings. In fact, the most innings he's thrown in basically 2 years. Mookie Betts, 2 for 3. Couple doubles in that game. Multiple extra base hits for a second straight game. 60 extra base hits for the year. Fifth consecutive season with that. Mike Trout, the only other guy on that list. Brock Holt, who entered that game with only 23 homers in an 8-year major league career, only one this year in 156 at-bats, maybe in remembrance of Durwood Pops Penny, his coach who died a week ago at age 78 back in Texas. Brock hit one out, and that was kind of emotional for Brock to help on Saturday. One other Saturday note, Dustin Pedroia turned 36, and he's still in Arizona, still thinking about what's next. But in a nutshell, you know the drill here. Dustin's appeared in 9 major league games since the start of 2018, 3 in 18, 6 this year. And we're just kind of waiting for any kind of good news. Maybe some good news about David Price from Saturday through a bullpen session. So he's maybe another week, week and a half before he's back in the rotation. Sounds like the Sox will need him with this news about Sale. Now to Sunday. Nate Eovaldi, not sharp at all. He spotted the Orioles a 6-0 lead, matter of fact. But then the Orioles completely imploded, starting with their starter Ty Block, which is actually spelled like somebody vomiting, which is appropriate. It's B-L-A-C-H, like black. And it got worse after he left, because their bullpen, as you probably have heard, is quite terrible. Mitch Moreland came off the bench to go 3 for 3. Let's talk about Mitch for a sec. He was not a bad signing at 2 years, $13 million. He's played a very good defensive first base. He's got 29 home runs, close to an 800 OPS as a Red Sox. But he's going to be 34 next month. He's a free agent. And obviously the Steve Pierce re-signing did not go well. That was a disaster. They're going to let the 36-year-old Steve Pierce walk away. There is no clear heir to that position within the organization unless you're really in love with Bobby Dalbec. And you know, maybe he's this year's Michael Chavis. Maybe it will be Michael Chavis next year at first base. But Jose Abreu always gets talked about. The Mets' Dominic Smith could be expendable. Trey Mancini of the Orioles could play there. Just throwing that out there. But really the story from Sunday once again was across the diamond. It was Rafi Devers. Another 4-hit game. It was a homer and 2 more doubles to go with a single. Now, Rafi had a bad March. He had a subpar April. He had a poor start to August. But if you take away, say, his first 4 weeks and take away the 2 weeks of late July into August, he has literally been the best hitter in baseball, including Yelich, Trout, and Bellinger. Seriously. The last 8 games alone, and this is coming off what everybody thought was the late season swoon, he's 20 for his last 37, 8 doubles, 4 home runs. That is 12 extra base hits in a little more than a week. And I mean, put it this way, that's half of what A's slugger Chris Davis has had for the entire season. He's got 24 extra base hits. Devers just did that in 8 days. Devers is leading the majors in extra base hits and doubles. And for all the fans who were upset that the Red Sox didn't keep an age 31 Adrian Beltre around, here is the lefty version of Beltre in Devers. And currently, Devers is 22. Devers Sunday, we mentioned 4 for 5, a couple more runs scored. He's got 103 runs scored now, 101 runs batted in. First player with 100 runs batted in, 100 runs scored in a season before his 23rd birthday since Miguel Cabrera in 2005. That's a future Hall of Famer. And the only other Red Sox player to do that was Ted Williams. So just to kind of clue you in on the company that Devers is keeping. And I always talk about this. You know, the guy had no home runs, 3 runs batted in, basically 30 games into the season. And now he's leading the league in a ton of stuff. Sam Travis gets a shout out. He had a home run on Sunday. He's got 4 homers, 8 runs batted in his last 9 games. Overall, since he came up just after the All-Star break, this guy's hitting .300. He's got 4 doubles, 6 home runs, 13 runs batted in. He's got an OPS of a Xander Bogaerts like .955. Maybe it's finally Sam's time. Speaking of Bogaerts, 2 for 5 for him on Sunday. 7 runs batted in his last 6 games. and 94 runs batted in for the season now. He's 9 away from the career high that he got a year ago. J.D. Martinez, 3-for-5 in this game. He's hitting .398 in the last 4 weeks with an OPS of .1223. That would be leading the majors if he'd been able to do that all season. At least he's done it for around 4 weeks now, and he's doing it while managing a bad back. Since the All-Star break, you're looking at, of the top 15 OPSs in the majors, the Red Sox having 5 of them. Devers, Bogarts, Martinez, Benintendi, and Betts. Everybody but Martinez has a contract for next year, and JD, of course, can opt to stay and make the Red Sox 5-for-5 on that list. We should mention the bullpen was money again on Sunday, and it had to be with Eovaldi washing out. Marcus Walden ended up with the win, and what a nice year he's having. 30-year-old rookie we're talking about here, no complaints. Josh Taylor has been rock solid. Ever since he gave up a lead at Yankee Stadium August 3, it's 8 straight scoreless innings. Gleyber Torres homered against him once, but that's really the only thing I can remember this month that's gone wrong. For a guy that began in the Philly system in 2014, you look at his resume across all levels, his career best is, I mean, until this year anyway, was 5 runs allowed per 9 innings. He's at 3.4 this year. And 2 runs allowed over the last 18 innings overall for the bullpen. This is a crowded, overstretched bullpen. I get that. But suddenly, they've actually got the second best ERA of any AL bullpen since the All-Star break, which seems impossible, what with the 23 blown saves, but them's the facts. Alex Cora, I thought it was interesting, Saturday basically admitted that the bullpen by committee thing to start the year was indeed a poor idea. Lining up Matt Barnes to pitch essentially only against the toughest guys in batting orders, that kind of eventually caused him to hit a wall, blow a fuse, whatever you want to say, 9.69 ERA in June. He blew out, and Brazier blew out too, but now it seems that things are leveling out, even without a traditional closer. It's Workman in the ninth these days, and that's been working very well. So Sunday, they were down 6-0. They win 13-6. First time since 07 where the Red Sox won by at least 6 after trailing by at least 6. You got to go back to a game against Tampa Bay where they were down 8-1 and won 16-10. Let's hear from Alex Cora after a very, very busy, exhausting weekend at Fenway.
To watch. How did you feel at 6-0?
Yeah. Now we were talking about it. I mean, we feel we have the best offense in baseball. So early on, we were chasing pitches, and then we scored 2. Sam puts a good swing on it and puts it, you know, back in the game. At that point, you still have to, you know, we have to still manage the game aggressively, but knowing that there's an off day and Tuesday. We have no idea right now what we're going to do. But the guys kept doing their job out of the bullpen, and then we start putting good at-bats in that beginning. Christian hits that double, good base running play, and then Mitch puts the ball in play. We got lucky there, and so on and so on. So at that point, we're like, you know, we get close. We got to be aggressive, you know. We got to preserve the win, and we went for it.
Alex, I know you're short on starters, but would you be tempted to leave Cashner in the pen just given how effective he's been out there?
We'll talk about it in the next 24 hours, but, you know, he, like we talk about it, the stuff plays a little bit better. Velocity, you saw it. He defends his position. He's able to spin the ball for strikes, and he's able to expand with the fastball. And it seems like he's in a good place right now.
Alex, in your mind, how much did it change things when you started what you said was managing aggressively in those Cleveland games? Do you think the guys responded differently since then?
You got to ask them, but I think the quality of the bats and the way we pitch better. You know, obviously today wasn't great in the beginning, but we've done a good job as a group, especially the bullpen. They've been outstanding for the last 6 or 7 days.
Just what were your thoughts on Eovaldi today?
Just location-wise, he was off. Velocity was good. He hung a breaking ball on 3-2 to Nunez. You know, the walks, that doesn't happen. So, just one of those that he wasn't as, you know, effective or throwing pitches in the zone like he usually does.
Is that surprising after kind of how dominant he was in the bullpen the last
time? To be honest, you know, it's not easy to do that. We push him hard in Cleveland, and then, hey, go ahead, kid. You're starting on Sunday. So he'll have a few days to work on anything, and he'll be back in where is it? So San Diego. So he'll be okay.
I think at this point he's just unavailable by the bullpen.
During the week? No, we're not going to him. No. We're not going to that one. Yeah. Unless we need him.
It's for Denver's 22 years old to have his first 100 RBI season now. And
It's amazing. And we go back to April. You know, like people were talking about him going to AAA and try to find it down there. But his on-base percentage was way up there, and he wasn't striking out. So we saw a few things that we liked, and he wasn't hitting the ball in the air. And when he found it, he just took off. And it's just quality at bat after quality at bat. And even the ground ball, it was a productive out, you know, with men at second and third. Those two runs were huge. You know, we don't put the ball in play there. We don't get back in the game. And he does that, and Xander puts the ball in play too. We got two runs and put us in a good spot. But, you know, he's a joy to watch.
Alex, we know that you're a fan of the game. You watch the game. When you see Devers in the same sentence with guys like Ted Williams and Miguel Cabrera, can you put that in some kind of perspective for us?
No, not really. I'm just I told you guys, we saw it in 17, in the middle of the series. You know, we're trying to rattle him and scream at him and make fun of him, and he was actually making fun of us, you know, and he was laughing and smiling and enjoying the game. And then he hit that rocket off Giles, the inside of the Parker, hit the home run of Liriano in 17. I was like, man, this kid, he's going to be something special. It started in Seattle when he hit the home run straight center. We were watching from afar, and we were in awe. And then obviously the one against the Yankees, everybody knows about that one, the Chapman one. But and then what he did last year, you know, he got hurt. He goes to AAA. We were platooning him at one point, and he didn't put his head down. It was the other way around. I do feel that, you know, September last year taught him a lesson, kind of like don't take anything for granted. Keep working. Keep getting better. And that's what he did. You know, he did it throughout the playoffs. He did it in the offseason. And he's been outstanding as far as, like, his program throughout the season. Working out, watching video. He's been very disciplined.
All right, there's the skipper, and he's now in charge of a team that has won five straight as Baltimore drops to 39-85 and is somehow not the worst team in the majors. That honor goes to Detroit, which laid down Sunday, let the Rays rally on him in Tampa St. Pete, which is why the Sox are still 6.5 out with now 6 weeks to go. Although, that's a nice bite-sized morsel to consider, isn't it? Gain one game per week for all 6 weeks, you have forced a one-game playoff, maybe even a two-game playoff with three teams to, well, probably have Porcello or Cashner start those games and earn you the chance to go play Houston or the Yankees if you somehow survive. I know, this is not shaping up as a World Series season. I totally hear you. I totally get it. But just to be in the conversation for a playoff spot, to get past 90 wins this year with all the nonsense this season's been about, that would actually be a nice catapult into a 2020 season that I really think is going to be a lot less uneven than 2019. I don't know how it could possibly not be. Anyway, off day Monday, then a two-game series with the Philadelphia Gabe Kaplers starting on Tuesday. Sox are in a stretch where they have 13 now against the Orioles, Phillies, Padres, Rockies, and Angels. And the Phillies are the best of that bunch, the most intimidating with a win percentage of 525. 64-60, a game and a half out in their wild card pursuit. And the Philly fans don't want to hear the excuses, although there are many. Their bullpen has been decimated. They've got only two relievers still active from their opening day roster. They've used 14 outfielders. They've lost Andrew McCutchen. Aaron Nola's only got 10 wins. A couple of their starters have been demoted to the bullpen. Their highest paid starter, Jake Arrieta, is going to need surgery. And Bryce Harper's not exactly Bryce Harpering. For the $330 million that he got, the fans expected a little more than a 250-ish batting average and an OPS that's basically the same as Whit Merrifield. And in fact, of qualifying players, Bryce Harper is number 50 out of 50 in OPS right now, if you just look at the top 50. There are 115 major league players with enough plate appearances to qualify for leaderboard. So being 50th out of 115, that's mid-pack. I'm not a Bryce Harper hater. I kind of feel for Bryce Harper. I mean, he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, 11 years ago now? And it's easy to forget how young he still is. He is younger than Chris Bryant, than Christian Yelich, than Noah Syndergaard, just to name a few. So Harper's in, Philly's in, two on Tuesday and Wednesday. Thursday is a resumption of that suspended game with KC. And the Red Sox are doing something cool. They want to offer the most boisterous backdrop they can for what could be an 11-minute afternoon here. It's free admission for kids. No charge for those 18 and under for the restart. And all the other fans can get in for $5. And the proceeds from those tickets go into the Jimmy Fund. Of course, it's a big Jimmy Fund telethon week coming up this week here. That's a 105 start or restart from the suspended game. If you had tickets from that suspended game August 7th, show your ticket stub, you get your original seat. And I guess that's all you pretty much need to know about that. The game resumes with Josh Taylor facing Mabrys Valoria with a 2-1 count. Lineups and batting orders have to be the same, with pitchers and players already seeing action. They're ineligible to return. But it's a funky situation here. I mean, the Royals designated Billy Hamilton for assignment. He batted ninth August 7th. He's due to hit third in this resumption game on Thursday. It's been a little more than 50 years since a suspended Red Sox game wasn't just made up the following day. Last time was in 1968, and it ended very well. Hawk Harrelson put it on the board. Yes, he did, with a walk-off grand slam. I'm just putting that out there. All right, I think you've heard from enough people. We gave you some Porcello. We gave you some Dombrowski. We gave you some Cora. Gave you some me. And now you get a break because we will not be back until that Philly series is underway. We'll tell you what you need to know about how that's shaping up and get you ready for the road trip as well, which, again, will start in beautiful San Diego, California, which, of course, is a German word. I'm not doing it. It's too easy. Everybody's seen the movie 100 times. I'm Brick Tamland. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.